From Capybara Media, this is You're Gonna Be Great, the self-care podcast that supports you through life's ups and downs with real mental health and wellness conversations delivered via pop culture. Here's your host, M. Elizabeth Evans.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to You're Gonna Be Great. Today, I'm here with China Johnston again.
Hello.
Hello. And Henry Kramer, AKA the voice of Tamlin.
Hi there.
Welcome, Henry. I'm so excited to have you here today. China totally set this up for me after meeting you at the Books, Gowns, and Crown Ball, which is a hilarious story that she told in the last episode. But for folks who haven't heard it, China, it's pretty funny, like seeing Henry running around, correct?
Yeah, well, we met initially. You actually came over while I was at Elise Kova's table and you talked to us briefly there. And I was like, that guy's really nice. But then at the ball, I kept seeing you like running around as Tamlin. And I was like, that guy is very into Tamlin. I wonder if he's read the rest of the books because he's so enthusiastic about Tamlin. And Mark and I were kind of talking about like, yeah, he does a really good job of being Tamlin, but like, I wonder. And then, more time went by and we ended up at the bar with you guys and you were just so incredibly nice and asked if we wanted to like follow each other on Instagram. And so I was like, yeah, great. And I followed you and then read your bio and I was like, wait a second. You are actually Tamlin. Got it. And it like...
There's the enthusiasm. That's why he's so enthusiastic.
It completely reframed all of our interactions up to that point where I was like, that's why he's so enthusiastic. That's why he's so good at like being Tamlin is he is way more knowledgeable about this book than even I am. So
that's not even the worst part. The event organizer introduced me as Tamlin and people still didn't realize. They just couldn't comprehend that the voice of Tamlin is a 5'6" cinnamon roll.
Well, I think when they introduced you as Tamlin, I don't remember if they specifically said like the voice of Tamlin or just Tamlin, but I was like, yeah, of course that's Tamlin. Like I can tell by that costume. And so like, I took it at face value of just like, that's who you were dressed as. But I didn't think further past that because I don't think that they ever said like the voice of Tamlin. And so it.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, obviously he's Tamlin. He's dressed as Tamlin. Like, we can see that.
Yeah.
Which, like, brings me to the thousands of questions that I have, starting with, like, okay, so how long have you been doing voice work? Like, kind of give us your origin story. Like, did you always want to do it? Did you fall into it?
Do you want the full, this is the first thing that really shaped me as an artist? Like, that kind of high concept?
I would like whatever you think is the funnest story.
Oh, you get to hear the Richard story.
Yay! I can't wait.
So, 8, 10-year-old me recently come to grips with the morality of death. Had to have a whole class on it and everything. We are going to go see my father in a show he's been doing, in a play. It's about a king. There's a three in his name. Richard something. We're up in the highest balcony, the nosebleeds, up in the rafters, and I watch my dad go out on stage, and there's some men with him. Men with guns? And they take him into a room with a glass wall, and the lights shift, and next thing I know, there's a bang and a splat as my father hurls his body covered in fake blood against a glass wall as he slowly slides down with a wet thump.
Oh my gosh.
And in the 3 to 5 palpable seconds of dead silence that follow, all the audience can hear from the top balcony row, "Daddy, no!"
Oh.
And someone's having a panic attack, and my mom's going, no, it's okay, daddy's not dead, daddy's just pretending, daddy's fine. And I turn to her with tear-stained cheeks and heaving chest going, what? Daddy's just pretending.
Cool.
And that's when I knew.
Wow, right then. So from traumatic to inspiring, I love that.
In the blink of an eye.
I mean, that is creativity, right? That's from trauma to inspired. Here we are.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, when you see your father killed in front of you in a believable manner on stage, it changes you.
That's kind of amazing.
I've seen both my parents die on stage at separate times. I have watched every child's nightmare of seeing my, like, your parents die a horrible, visceral death in front of you. And you're like, wow, they did good.
That's kind of amazing. So both of your parents are...
Both my parents are performers.
That's amazing.
They are the reason I got into voice acting, because not only are they actors, they're also award-winning narrators.
Oh, wow.
So story time as a kid was awesome.
That's fantastic. I love those stories when, like, creative people grow up with supportive parents, because, you know.
It makes all the difference in the world. They tried to get me to do other things that would be a lot less work. They tried. Bless them. They were like, you sure you want to do this? It's a lot of work. I just went, yeah.
Girl, yeah, I do. Thank Dad.
And mom.
Yeah.
Dad and mom. They both did it.
They both died on stage for you. So then how did you end up? How did you find out you were playing Tamlin? How did you, like, so did you, tell me how that worked.
In graphic audio.
First off, I'm going to interrupt you for like 2 seconds, but I specifically remember your fiance saying that, like, you very much downplayed the whole situation. So I would love to know how that went too. I would love to hear how you downplayed everything too.
I'll include that then. First things first, Graphic Audio, the casting/direction company, wonderful folks who cast me in that role, gave me a list of people to audition for. They actually submitted several rounds of auditions to Miss Moss. Is it Moss or Mouse?
Mass.
Mass.
Yeah. But I might be pronouncing it wrong.
Who knows?
Got it.
Are we all pronouncing it wrong?
I don't know.
And I was actually slated to be either Tamlin or Lucian.
Oh.
It was one of the two. And I submitted for both of them. And the second go around was when I was just tired at the end of the day. And I was playing in my more net. Because right now, this is not my natural register. This is not me in a relaxed state. I am artificially hiking my voice up to its higher registers for the baritone bass range, so that way it projects more and a microphone can capture it that much easily. But for Tamlin, I relaxed my diaphragm, let loose my lungs, and played into the bass of my voice.
So you found out that you got the part?
Mm-hmm. I was very excited. It was the largest role that I had done with Graphic Audio, and I didn't understand at the time how much this production would blow up. All I knew is that I wanted to show up and put my best foot forward.
Yeah, and you definitely did that.
And I'm very grateful that is what happened.
I mean, I hear your voice like every day on TikTok. I think I've heard it like 5 times today, because there's a new sound trending with clips of your voice. And so I hear it like genuinely every day, at least once. It's impressive.
That's kind of amazing. You have to send me that.
Is it weird that the only reason I even created a TikTok was because I was gently bullied at the BGC convention?
No, I think people do that all the time. There's like the guy who dresses up as Rune Dannon. Mm-hmm. He made a TikTok this book ball because so many people pressured him into it. So the Hooks, Hounds, and Crowns, they peer pressure into TikTok.
They're like, you're not promoting yourself enough. So yeah. I kind of love that though. So, okay. When you auditioned, I'm guessing, had you read the books yet? Had you read anything from her?
No, I hadn't. This was my first introduction to the world of ACOTAR and Sarah.
Okay. So what did you think the first time you read the manuscript?
The first time I read A Court of Thorns and Roses, I was wholeheartedly rooting for Tamlin.
As we all were.
I was like, my homeboy, my PTSD prince. You trying.
Yeah, I was rooting pretty hard for him too. Yeah,
you know what though? Like from a writer's perspective, I have to say that, you know, when writers introduce, so I was totally rooting for Tamlin, but I noticed that when she introduced Rhysand's character, she spent a lot of time describing him. And I was like, oh no,
the most beautiful male she'd ever seen.
She loved the one guy, but now she really likes the other.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no, he's something, like she's going for this guy, like later on. Okay. So were you horribly disappointed in the second book when you found out that Tamlin was not the hero, but rather kind of the...
Horribly disappointed implies that the story went in a way that wasn't at least satisfactory. Well, I wasn't horribly disappointed. I was pleasantly devastated.
That's fair. I'm not the good guy.
Is it
and
really
so... That informed me of the decision that I then had to read only Tamlin's parts. Because since Tamlin's not around, he doesn't know all of this is happening.
Oh, okay.
Tamlin is not in the inner circle. He doesn't know all the machinations and plans and inner thoughts of our heroine. He just sees quiet, distant, away. Because that's the way he was treated. And it would have been a disservice to the character to try and color it as anything other than what Tamlin would be. Not my own personal bias. I try to keep that out of the character. Mm-hmm. But I tried to give my insight and input into how I feel Tamlin would respond when hurt.
That makes total sense. I mean, you're right. He was kind of pushed out into a corner.
He was.
Like, and reprimanded by everyone else in the book.
Feyre never talked about shit, but he never talked about shit. And that was the source of the problem, that both of them were just not compatible.
No, not compatible. And, and we've talked about the ACOTAR books. So a lot on this podcast, we talk about like larger themes within the books. We chatted before about Tamlin and his obvious PTSD from what happened with his parents. And also just how he dealt with unresolved trauma versus how Rhysand dealt with it. Rhysand kind of dealt with it in a healthier way and took accountability, where Tamlin took a little bit more of like a narcissistic approach of just blaming everyone for his problems.
Well, he kind of suppresses it.
And suppressing it, yeah.
I honestly felt that he was traumatized from his upbringing and the acts that he was forced to commit as a young man, which scarred and changed him forever, because he was raised to be royalty. He was raised to be a soldier. And in any kind of organization, whether it be the arts or the military, perfection and excellence are always demanded. Failure is not an option. To imply that he had chosen wrong or that he had made a mistake would be to imply that he was anything less than what he was supposed to be, which was perfect. And it was that obsession, at least from my understanding of the character, of in his own way of pursuing perfection. His version of perfection is a leader who never makes mistakes, as someone who is capable of taking care of people and not hurting people. And the fact that he doesn't live up to his own expectations means that he, in his own eyes, is less than perfect, and he is ashamed of that. Mm-hmm. And he was never taught how to deal with that in a healthy manner. He was a soldier. He broke things.
I think, yeah, and that makes so much sense too, because, you know, as if you read about like narcissism a lot, a huge part of it is shame, like an inability to process shame in a healthy way. And it causes a lot of controlling behavior, a lot of accidental or intentional.
You got to squeeze what you know you can hold on to.
Yes. And like the way that you make sure that everything is safe is like by controlling everything and keeping things in like a, you know, a box. And so we talked about that before, and we're comparing how, you know, Tamlin versus other characters had dealt with the trauma differently, how they were all horribly traumatized, but each one had a different way of kind of coping. And I also thought that the author did such a brilliant job. And I wonder if you noticed that or what you think about this. So I felt like she did such an amazing job of like setting us up with Tamlin, basically make us fall in love with him. And then in book two, you go through and you see all the red flags. And so it almost takes you through the actual lived experience of like falling in love with a narcissist. Like you, like everything is great and they're sweeping you off your feet and they're taking care of you and there's like love bombing and all of this stuff. And then all of the controlling behavior kind of comes in for like book two. And you don't see it when you're in it, but you see it perfectly when you're looking back, right?
Oh, no, that is... Book one, Tamlin is so sweet. It's because he hasn't lost his patience yet. You will hear me be one of the first people to say, as much as I love Tamlin, the boy needs therapy. And book two does an excellent job of showing us that even if you love someone and someone is wonderful to you, if they are a problem in that kind of manner, it is okay to leave. You don't have to stay.
100%.
You can go. That's a great fucking lesson.
100%.
Being able to let go of something is what Tamlin couldn't do.
Right. Yeah, not even at the very end. Like, he's really struggling with it.
I think, at least, on that note, I do want to think that Tamlin's final line, or at least what I think is his true final line, is him finally learning to let go.
Yeah.
It took the entirety of the series for him to learn. The boy's stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing, if nothing but stubborn, for sure.
No, he go get it. It's what he do.
I'm kind of curious how you think all of that influenced the way that he behaves under the mountain with his like just not doing anything. What like do you think of down? That? Yeah.
That's the despair phase.
Yeah.
I remember having to do that one. I literally felt bad after recording that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He felt panicked, out of lack of complete control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was in fight or flight response because he was responding to trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense.
And he did not do well.
No, he did not. He did not.
No, he did not.
No.
And I'm not saying that that is a valid reason to excuse something, but it at least explains it.
For sure. I, back to the narcissism, I love all of the memes and stuff on TikTok about how Tamlin, like, instead of trying to get Feyre out when he had the chance, he was just like, what if we just do it though?
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I haven't had a TikTok up until like 4 or 5 days ago. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I know nothing of its social media popularity. I know nothing.
Oh, it's massive. It's so massive. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you. Like, how does it feel to be a part of a project this big? Like, you cannot blink on BookTok or Bookstagram without seeing like something related to the ACOTAR series.
It's weird. Like, in the best way. Because I had no idea. I had no idea it was this big.
That's amazing.
Did you know before going to Books, Gowns, and Crowns? Because so much around Akbar.
No.
You didn't know you'd be a walking celebrity?
Here in my little hobbit hole, doing my little work and going to the booth every day and recording the voices and then going back to the and cooking for my fiance and then walking the dog and then going to sleep. Yeah. I didn't know any of this.
That's so crazy. But also, are you like, is your mind like blown now that you have TikTok? Like, have you heard your own voice on some of the memes and stuff?
I have. It's strange, wonderful, and I literally don't know how to explain it. But not gonna lie, it has validated so many of my like previous insecurities that I thought I'd put to rest, and just boom. Oh, hey, by the way, you're technically successful. And I'm just like, oh, that's what that feels like.
Isn't that that's like the pivotal point in a creative's life where like you find out, you're like, yes, this validates all of my life choices career wise like this was a good idea after all.
It was, but at the same time I also just felt like me.
Yeah,
I just felt that at the end of the day, like, oh, that's great. And we got the next project and it was wonderful. Having that moment of realization, like you said, honestly speaking, I never thought I would get here. I've just been doing my best and doing as much work as I can and trying everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I have to ask this. Did you eventually, because you said that you just read the part of Tamlin, did you eventually read all of the books? All of the parts?
There were bits and pieces that I did read.
Okay.
But while I was doing that, I think a part of me was sad at how Tamlin was, and that's why I didn't read more of the book.
That makes sense.
Okay. I was sad. I'd come to know and begrudgingly love this gruff, horribly broken thing. That refused to change. I'd loved him affectionately, like, God damn it. You know what? You're stubborn, but fuck. And a part of me was always sad that I never got to see him heal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We never get to see Tamlin whole.
No.
He was always broken.
That's true.
I didn't expect you to make me cry this interview.
Look, I'm just really enjoying the deep dive here. I apologize that I'm not a greater font of information.
No, you are fantastic. I am loving all of this. Well, the reason I asked that is because I was going to ask if you ever secretly ended up crushing on the Bat Boys like everybody else.
Resend. It's on site.
That's fair.
Okay.
Site.
Speaking of that, like, bitterness towards Resand, when we were doing the cosplay competition, and you were the MC for that, at that point, I still didn't know that you were the voice of Tamlin. And so Mark and I get on, and we're dressed as Feyre and Resand, and he goes, my ex-fiance and her new beau, in his voice, his fantastic deep voice. And I'm just like, dude, you're killing it, but like, you're still really into this character.
Committed.
And I was just like, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm a dead ringer for the Tamlin voice. What can I say? I've practiced a lot.
it threw me off a little bit because you were like so committed to like that bit a little bit. And so like, we're standing on stage and I'm already like having stage fright. And then you throw that and I'm like, what am I doing?
You just start apologizing.
I'm so sorry. I actually did apologize. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go.
I was just going to say, it was so much fun playing off of everyone there. The energy was great. Everybody was yes-anding. Like, that was improv, like, workshop gold right there. That was just a yes-and to the entire event.
Yep. I completely agree with that.
As much fun as I had, as y'all had, it was, everything went perfectly. I couldn't have asked for a better event.
I'm so sad I missed it. It sounds like
next year.
Yeah, next year for sure.
No, they're scheduling it for Seattle, and I'm hoping to attend and work it again. Maybe I'll bring a blonde wig this time.
Oh.
Actually go full throttle, get myself a crown.
Oh, you have to, yeah. Yep.
The
The Supreme
That'd be so
Court demands justice. I'm having too much fun with this.
fun. No, please do. I love that. Now I was just thinking about how you said that this project was a few projects ago for you. So what are you working on at the moment? Like, what are you, and also, do you mostly do like fantasy stuff? What do you find yourself doing a lot of?
So, what I find myself doing a lot of is fiction, fantasy, a new genre that's popped up called literature RPG, where people turn video games into books.
Oh,
Oh,
that's fun, yeah.
yeah.
I've found a lot of success in that one. So, I have also been doing a lot of different character voices for graphic audio over the years. They're wonderful. In terms of, could you repeat the first question you asked?
Oh, of course. Yeah. What are you working on at the moment? Anything interesting, fun?
I am currently working on a few projects at the moment. I am doing a co-narration series for young adult fiction with my fiance. I brought them into the audiobook world and we do books together.
That is so much fun.
That's amazing.
We get to geek out over the same stories.
That is so much fun.
That's the dream.
The current one we're working on is the book three, I believe, in. I want to make sure I have this right. Ah, yes. It is book three that we are working on is Seaborn by Eric T. Knight.
Oh, I have to check
It
that out.
is a whole 5 to 6 book series, children with magical gifts and blessings, and in some cases, curses.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, books one and two are already finished. We're currently working on book three. It's so much fun.
I love that. I love you get to work with your fiance. That would be
It's
adorable.
I'm living my personal dream. It's amazing.
Aww.
And
Aww.
currently, I've got a few books lined up, but I gotta be hush hush on those.
Very sure.
But the next multicast project I'll be a part of is for the spicier side.
Oh, so is
I
it?
will be I am unveiling for the purposes of the algorithm. So that way, when you look up one name for narration, there's family safe, I would say, narration, and then something else.
Something more adult? Are
Something a
you
bit more hot and heavy.
spicy?
So, if you're starting more spicy stuff, was it like completely new to you when doing ACTAR for Spice, and how was that recording
Yeah, is it awkward?
Oh, not at all.
Oh,
I'm more than happy to make all the sound foleys in the booth. I'm an actor. My body is my tool. I use it to make sounds that sound good.
I feel like I would be giggling the whole time
I feel like
personally.
I would be too, yeah.
No, it's weird. I've always just it's a sound foley. I'm like, okay, you want it? Well, like you need it to sound like this or more like this.
Sure.
Okay, this is the final question that I have, but important and not work related. What are you reading right now?
In terms of just for me,
Yeah, just for pleasure. Like, what are you? Do
I
you
can't
have
recall
time
the
to
actual
read?
name of it, but there is an orange book of poems that my sister got me for my birthday a while back that I'm working my way through when I have the time.
Oh,
I'm
that's so
currently
cute.
reading through three separate book series for work, so my time spent reading is a lot.
Yeah. I was wondering if you had much time to read for pleasure or for
Not a
like
lot.
for work.
No, I get paid to read. It's insane.
That'd be
Job,
so
isn't it?
nice.
Yeah.
So you said that you're unveiling a new name, like a pen name for spicy stuff.
A new
When
narration to handle, yes.
are you releasing that? When can we expect that to be
We
on?
begin work on it in, I want to say, September, October, final files by December at latest.
Very cool.
Do you want me to read out the announcement for you?
Sure.
Coming this winter, an audiobook announcement by the author Elizabeth Brown, Weaving Fate, with Cat Medina as Calypso, Von Necros as Killian, Corvin King as Gunnar, and William O. Madison as Finn.
Amazing. I love it. That's pretty awesome. Thank you for reading that. Yeah. That was
thank you.
Very, very
cool. Oh, no. Look, Elizabeth asked us to politely name drop whenever we could. And I figured we're doing deep dives onto Tamlin characters. We're skirting the side of spicy. Why not drop a little? Or in this case, lift a little skirt, show some ankle.
Which is irrelevant.
I can show a little ankle, can't I, Papa?
Very relevant for two women who are in Utah right now.
Yeah.
The denim skirts, the ankle length denim skirts.
Last podcast we recorded, the recording that you gave to me to give to Misty. Mm-hmm. And we were both talking about how, like, you just kind of pulled that out of nowhere, but it sounds so rehearsed. And we were so impressed by that.
Yeah, I died when I got it. Because China kept saying, okay, I need you to record your reaction to this. I'm going to send you something. I need you to record the reaction, send it to me. And I was like, what is she sending me? It's like I'm drinking coffee in the morning. I was like, I don't know what is going on. But I was like way excited about it. Because I was like, it's going to be something fun. Because China and I have a lot of the same interests. And then I like played it and I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, it is Tamlin. And he's talking to me. This is amazing. I know, I was dying. And then I like sent her the video of me being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was a very joyful morning.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that I've got the pink lights on in the booth so you can't really see me blushing. But oh my God, I'm so flattered that you liked it that much. Thank you.
I did, and I can't believe you recorded it in a pool. Like, how talented are you?
It's a lot of hard work. There is talent, but it's nothing without the hard work.
Yeah, of course. Well, you've definitely done it because holy shit, you recorded something in a pool that sounds like it should be published. And made my morning. So
hey, with it. Real winner right here.
Oh God. Oh, and it looks like we are running out of time. We are at the mark. So that went by so fast. Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. And Henry, for sharing all of your opinions and the journey of Tamlin. So appreciate it. And it was really nice meeting you.
It was wonderful meeting you as well. Feyre, you're going to be great. I believe in you.
Oh my God. Woo-hoo! Fabulous. Every time I die.
Thanks for listening to You're Gonna Be Great. You can always find episode notes and the transcript on the website You're Gonna Be Great. Follow us on Instagram at You're Gonna Be Great to see what's next. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share it with your friends or take a moment to leave a review. Thanks so much. See you next week. And remember, you're gonna be great.